Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert.
Psalm 133 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this: Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
I'm with David Southwick, MP, Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party in Australia. Now, you just recently came to Israel. Why did you want to come to Israel at this time?
Yeah, Paul. So first of all, great to be on your program. And I have taken members of parliament over a number of years to Israel. I co-convened the Parliamentary Friends of Israel in the Victorian Parliament. But this time, it was really important to take a group of politicians to see what had happened and what transpired since October 7, to show support for Israel at a very, very difficult time. And after many of the community of which, where I represent, Caulfield, which has a very big Jewish community, about 30% of my electorate is Jewish, after very much being in the front line dealing with the flow-on effect from October 7 with the escalation of anti-Semitism, I thought it was really important for me to go to see firsthand and to come back and bring some of the experiences to the community. So for those reasons, I thought, yeah, it was really, really important to go. And we had planned this trip with a number of MPs, and we had to cancel for two or three other times, one of which was about a month before October 7, where it just didn't, things couldn't happen. But then when October 7 happened, we had to cancel, and then it was only, you know, in the third time that we decided, yeah, we just needed to go.
You've been a few times before, but was the mood different this time when you came?
Paul, it was so different. I mean, in previous occasions, we would give people a religious experience. We'd give them an understanding about what Israel was all about, from its innovation, entrepreneurship, spirit, the whole element. But this was very much a completely different look at it, from a tragedy, really, to think that Israel had experienced what they had experienced. And for us, it was more about trying to understand the events of October 7 and what flowed on from then. So it was a very, very different trip.
Surprising to see hostage posters everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first pretty confronting thing. You come off the plane and you see hostage posters everywhere. But at the same time, you see a very resilient, strong, positive community. And my wife actually joined us on this trip. And one of the comments that she made to me literally only a few hours into the trip was that in many ways she felt safer in Israel than what she did in her own town here in Victoria. People, they didn't have the animosity and the anti-Israel stuff that we have even in our own neighbourhoods of Caulfield, such a Jewish community. But as we have the hostage posters and had them up here, they've been destroyed and taken down by anti-Israel protesters, whereas you would never see that happen in Israel.
Does that shock you, that people in your community are taking posters down?
Yeah, it does shock me. And also, I have tried to turn it on us and calling all Zionists a terrorist and that kind of thing. So the Jew hate that we have seen in recent months is just something that I've never experienced, particularly from a place like Victoria, which champions its multicultural state. We have people that come from all different backgrounds, and that's been in many ways our secret spice of how we've been so successful, is because we don't just tolerate multiculturalism, we celebrate it, and we celebrate people's diversity and backgrounds. But when it comes to the Jewish community, unfortunately, we've been absolutely targeted and in many ways blamed from the events of October 7. And even before Israel went in after the events of October 7, it took obviously a number of days and weeks before they actually went into Gaza, already the attacks on the Jewish on Israel from locally in Victoria was already happening.
Does the Jewish community in Australia feel safe at the moment, particularly where you are? And do you think this just will cause them to want to come to Israel?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's the community's strong, but also, like, we have rallies of 5,000 people in our CBD every week on a Sunday, and most Jews won't go into our city, our CBD, because of fear. We have protesters that have been camped outside our parliament, the steps of parliament, and they know who I am, being a Jewish member of parliament, so they target me, which is just very uncomfortable. And we've had a number of really disturbing things. Probably one of the most disturbing things that made, oh, a few really, but one of the first disturbing things was November 10, just a month after just over a month after the October 7 massacre, we had a Muslim burger store that was burned down in our area of Caulfield, and the Jews were blamed for burning it down, and that was completely false, and even the police came out pretty much on that day and said it wasn't a racially motivated attack on this store, but the Islamic community and the Muslim burger store owner blamed the Jewish community for doing that. And that night, the Jewish community were besieged by protesters outside a synagogue on the Sabbath. And there were rocks hurled and a whole range of different things. And the Shabbat had to be cancelled and the service cancelled as a result of these protesters coming into Caulfield, which we've never, ever seen before. Months on from that, there were two Muslim young offenders that were caught for doing that attack. And we're still getting to the bottom of how that all happened. But they were only yesterday it said that these people were paid $20,000 to burn down the store. Nothing to do at all with the Jewish community, but we were blamed for it. And I suppose ever since that attack, our community has copped a lot of things. We had another situation where I brought families of the hostages. They'd come to Australia to talk about their plight to try and get the hostages released. And I hosted these families in the parliament. And I had members of parliament from all sides of parliament listening to them. It was a very emotional day. They then went off to a school, a Jewish school, and spoke to that school. And that evening, they went back to their hotel only to be greeted by protesters at the steps of their hotel and at the foot of the escalator, and they couldn't actually get into their hotel. At midnight, they were at the police station trying to seek help, and that was their welcome to Victoria. So that was horrible. I mean, we're not all seeing this kind of thing every day, but they're these kinds of things. And probably the last one, a Jewish day school had a graffiti outside the front of the school, "Jew die," only about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So they're the kinds of very outward physical things that we've had to experience. As I say, we're a very strong, resilient community here, and we will fight it. And we've had a lot, particularly a lot of the Christians, very strongly stand up alongside us. We had a Never Again rally with about 7,000 people in the city run by the Christian movement. And that was the first time that the Jewish community felt safe to go into the city and do a peaceful rally to combat the kind of very aggressive rallies that the anti-Israel protesters are doing at the moment.
It's very much like 1930s Germany. Do you get that sort of feeling?
Yeah, a bit like that. We've had Jewish creatives, the creative industry, and many of which would work very much. They would be seen kind of more progressive, these people, Jewish progressives that work in music and the arts, and they've been effectively boycotted. We had one guy who's quite a prestigious saxophone player in a band, and his band members said, you know, you're not welcome in our band anymore because you're Jewish. Nothing to do with Israel, nothing to do with any comments that he made publicly, but particularly just to he was Jewish. The same guy with his wife had a creative arts gift store in a non-Jewish area, but he was targeted and they were targeted in their store. They had to close the store and they've moved just up the road to me in Caulfield now because as a community, he feels safer. And it's a bit like, as you say, a bit like a shtetl approach in a Jewish community. Feel safe in amongst their own, but not as safe going out into the more broader areas on the streets. It's a real problem. We're working with police, we're working with government at the moment because we feel that they've failed the Jewish community during these times.
People hiding their Jewishness?
A little bit. So I've heard situations where medical doctors and nurses who would normally be very visible Magen Davids on their neck have hidden that because of what people have said in the workplace. There was a Muslim nurse that said that if a Jew came in, she wouldn't treat them, that kind of thing. There was a lot of people that were doxxed on social media because they were Jewish and their details were shared with other people as well. So there's been a real concerted effort, and I'm not sure what's happening necessarily in other parts of the world, but it's been motivated largely by far-left extremists that hate anything to do with a free market. They see capitalism as a horrible thing. They're very much the colonisation piece that, in our particular instance, this is very similar to what the Indigenous in what white Australia have done, taking over Indigenous, and the same they think in terms of Israelis taking over Palestinian land, and they're running that narrative and they're very, very aggressive. And a lot of young people are being influenced by them. There are some Muslim extremists that are caught in amongst them, and then Muslim campaigners that are running things like, similar to the UK, elections, setting up a Muslim votes parties, political parties running into our next federal election. So they're pretty activated, but it's not the silent majority. The silent majority are very, very much against and are starting to get more and more fed up with all of this.
Does it feel like the world has forgotten about the hostages today?
Yeah, we had a 9-month walk around our local park, lovely, on Sunday, and a number of media came down, and that's exactly what I said, that it feels like the reference point of how this all started, the terrorist attack and the hostages, was forgotten. And that was part of going to Israel in many ways, just to see with my own eyes and come back and share with a lot of people the fact that, you know, we've met with hostage families, we've seen the various kibbutzes that were attacked, we went to the Nova Dance Festival, we've seen it firsthand, we watched the 47-minute film that will never be taken, you know, it's burnt in my mind forever in terms of what those absolute evil animals did to innocent people. And I think there are those things that in many ways give me strength to ensure that others are reminded about what the evils of what was committed. And in many ways, it's very hard to say that anything is worse than the Holocaust, but as the Nazis hid a lot of what they did, the Hamas terrorists celebrated and published this information to everybody to celebrate death and destruction. And I don't think anyone's ever quite seen something like this. And I can't believe you look at every other major event of terrorism and the world just jumps in behind and against those terrorists. But it seems in this particular instance, people have forgotten it and in many ways turned on Israel and the Jews.
Have to see this 47-minute video. Was it so important to see it? Because it's very horrific, I hear.
Yeah, look, it is very horrific. And so I had five other politicians with me, all of them Christian, some of them really, and my wife. And I actually had a few of people that had seen it before said, me being Jewish and my wife, it might be too close to home for you to watch it, and suggested that I didn't see it. And these are people that had seen it. And I thought, I can't have my colleagues ask them to see something that I couldn't see myself. But afterwards, we're all pretty much in a circle in a room and it's everything's protected. The IDF show it and your phones and everything are left outside. And I was comforting a friend of mine who he'd broken down, and I was just trying to hold it together and I couldn't. And we were just in tears for probably 15, 20 minutes, just couldn't bring ourselves together. And I don't think I could say a word for hours. It was just, I was lost for words. I was broken. And I just couldn't believe that one human being could do what they did to another human being. I just could never think that that was possible. Could never, ever think that that was possible.
Where did you get to visit when you came to Israel? Did you go down to the southern communities where the terrorist attack took place?
Yeah, we did. So we went to Kfar Aza. Kfar Aza, because we've had a lot of Australians that families were there, and there was one particular Israeli that was living in Australia at the time that was talking to her father and mother who were locked in hiding from the terrorists during the time. So she was living that situation and she was helping us getting the messages out, you know, during the first weeks and months following the attack. So I got to meet her father and mother, and her father took me around Kfar Aza. And at the time there was shelling, so you could still hear the shelling about a kilometre away. So that was pretty chilling. But what was more chilling was these kibbutzes, which were thriving, beautiful, loving communities, were no more than grave sites. And you still saw in little childcare centres on the kibbutzes, you'd see the kids' little dolls just ripped apart and sitting on the floor, and on a little child's basin, blood just still, you know, dry blood on the basin and walls blown apart and everything just left kind of where it was, and you're just walking through what was rubble that was once, you know, a beautiful home for somebody. And that was pretty horrific. The Nova Festival was a bit the same, and just reading and hearing about different people. I mean, I was lucky. I come across a guy, Nicholas Wojcicic, who is a Christian advocate and speaker. And he's, you may have seen things with him, he was born with no arms and legs. and he's been on the speaker circuit talking about positivity and just, you know, how people get on with their life. So he came to Israel to see things firsthand. And so I bumped into him at the time and we shared a moment together, and I was telling him about the anti-Semitism. And he's an Australian-American. He spent time in Australia and lives in America, and he concluded by saying to me he'd love to come to Parliament to talk to our parliamentarians about what, you know, what he saw and what we need to do to combat anti-Semitism. So that was a strong, important time. One of the other things that's probably very strong for one of my colleagues, Renee Heath, whose father is a pastor in a church, we went to Hostage Square and she met Danny, who's the father of Omri. Omri was on one of the kibbutzim, Nahal Oz, and he opened the door to a young Israeli boy because Hamas said, if you don't open the door, we were going to kill him. And they took Omri, and he's one of the hostages. And his father has been growing his beard ever since October 7. And he said to us that when his son is released, he will shave along with his son. And that will be the time, you know, where he'll shave his beard. And he's been doing that to think every day about his son. And Renee said to him that, I will pray for your son every day. And with that, he took a necklace which he was wearing around him, and he placed it onto Renee. He said, when you pray, hold this necklace and you will think of my son. And there were moments like that that just really emotionally just ripped you apart, just to think about these people, their lives have been turned upside down. And so I think for the five politicians that I took, as I say, strong Christians, but strong supporters of Israel, but not really a full understanding about what Israel's been through, the history, know a little bit about the religiosity, but, you know, that gave them more of that opportunity as well. They've come back really strong advocates. They've spoken publicly and they're sharing their stories, which is important. And I think you don't know unless you go. And that's why I think it's really, really important at the moment for people to go to see firsthand, to support the economy of Israel, because, you know, the economy is pretty shot economically. And I think that's really important. And ultimately, it is safe. And unlike what we hear and report around the world, it is probably one of the most safest places. And that's not taking away from what's happening up north with Hezbollah and still what's happening in Gaza. But I think, you know, Israel is an important, you know, safe place to visit. And we've got to get that message out.
I imagine it was a difficult trip, but very productive as well. Are you going to be able to use some of all this information that you've gathered to lobby in Parliament?
Yeah, and we've been doing that. And I couldn't get, so I'm from the Liberal, which is a more conservative side of politics, and the Labor Party. I didn't have any of them come to Israel with me, but we're in opposition at the moment, but I am working hard to try and lobby the government to bring stronger laws in, police enforcement laws to combat hate and anti-Semitism. And we're slowly doing things there, but it's not easy. It is really, really hard, and we're doing whatever we can. I think probably the biggest thing is trying to activate the silent majority. There are a lot of people that don't like what's going on, are supportive of Israel and supportive of the Jewish community, but they just haven't got themselves involved. And I think that's where we need to be more proactive and awaken those people. As I say, the Christians have been really, really good, but we need to awaken more of them to activate them. We've got Thais, we've got the Indian community that are very supportive of Israel, Sri Lankans. We have a number of those communities that live here in Australia. We've got, they've turned up to a few of our peaceful rallies, but we need to awaken them further to activate, to combat the hate and to tell the truth and share the truth.
What is your prayer for the Jewish community in Australia at this time?
Oh, look, I mean, I know it's, you know, we all pray for peace and common decency for one another. And I understand and sympathise for many Palestinians that are losing their families, and no one would like to see any life lost. Every life is so important and so precious. And for me, I pray for the day in which both Palestinians and Israelis can all live side by side peacefully and have the mutual respect, decency, and understand, you know, the values and each and every one lives by. And I think that idea of respect, love is just so important, and peace and happiness. And I think that's, we all need a bit more of that right now.
A Facebook page for people who'd like to know more, contact you perhaps.
Yeah, so I can be contacted. My website's davidsouthwick.com.au or Southwick MP on my Facebook. And you'll see me also on Instagram, Southwick MP as well. So reach out. Love to hear from you all. And any of your listeners are down in Oz and you want to come and visit the Parliament, happy to show you around.
Wow, great. Well, David, thank you very much for sharing today.
Pleasure. Pleasure. And go strong and keep spreading the good word.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.